Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Eaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 10th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 31, the third paragraph, We Do Not Like to Pronounce, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Denise H. will be reading the 12 steps, Teresa S., reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Carrie S., Sandy W., and Leslie M. The share ID for Sunday, June 9th, the special edition, is 13,013. That's 13013. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,015. That's 13015. Our newcomer greeter for today is Ginger C., and Reggio will be making announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Denise H. to read the 12 steps, please.
Okay, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, here are the 12 steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Pass.
And thank you, Denise H. Teresa S., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Teresa S. I am a compulsive overeater from Bismarck, North Dakota. The 12 traditions. These 12 traditions are to the groups what the 12 steps are to the individual. They are suggested principles to ensure the survival and growth of the many groups that compose Overeaters Anonymous. Number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you, Teresa S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 31, the third paragraph, we do not like to pronounce. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Carrie S., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Carrie S., gratefully recovered in Golden, Colorado. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself, step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take you long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a bad case of jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. And for me, this rings true. I had to have this bad case of leaky gut, of bloatedness, constipation, of restlessness, irritability, and discontentedness for me to get this full knowledge about my condition. I had to relapse over and over and over again. And this sense of this denial that I could eat like other people, it had to be smashed. I had to have come to my own conclusion that and diagnose myself. Others cannot be the one to diagnose me. My experience was I had to have this knowledge of just horror and remorse. So for my condition. When I really didn't believe that I had the allergy of the body, all I had to do was, you know, see if I could eat at a buffet and have one plate or, you know, all the ways that I've tried to control and manage my food basically came down to I am powerless. It is all about this step one powerlessness. I cannot control my eating. I cannot manage it. And therefore, it took me to fully concede to a nutritionist, somebody that is a power greater than myself, a dietitian who would sit with me and show me, this is what you're going to eat. She wrote it down on a prescription card. I looked at that like, you know, this is the word. I'm getting this word. These are my foods. This is what I'll eat. And seeing that I am powerless then gave me the ability to seek a power greater than myself. And so I could get out of my head and get into my heart space. and the noises in my head began to get quiet. And so I just want to close by saying, I believe God abhors suicide. Nature and God, they abhor suicide. And what I was doing with the food was digging myself a grave one bite at a time with that spoon and that fork, digging myself a grave. So if you are out there and you are miserable and you are dying in this disease, please know that there is hope. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Carrie S. So who else would like to share on this third paragraph, page 31?
Maureen S. Nicole. Nicole C.
Bruce E.
Okay.
Nicole C.
I have Nicole C. Did I hear a Maureen?
Lisa S. in Oregon.
Yes, Maureen S. Thank you.
Okay, so I have Maureen S., Nicole C., Bruce E., Lisa S. Who did I miss in there?
Ginger C.
Barbara. We got Ginger C. Who came after Ginger C. but before Barbara?
Aaron.
Aaron, okay. And what's your initial, Aaron, of your last name?
M. M like Mary.
M. Okay, and Barbara, what's your initial?
E for Egbert.
E. Okay, so let's stop there. I have Maureen S., Nicole C., Bruce E., Lisa S., Ginger C., Erin M., and Barbara E. So go ahead, Maureen S.
Hi, Maureen S., recovering compulsive reader here. So grateful to be abstinent today. I love this paragraph because I was pretty easily able to diagnose myself. Like, 22 years ago, I first stepped into my first OA meeting, and within a very short amount of time, I thought, oh my gosh, like, this totally speaks to me. I knew I was a compulsive overeater, but I was never willing to put my drug down, so I never really got much abstinence. I had, oh my gosh, easily probably 100 relapses in the past 22 years, and because I wouldn't put my drug of choice foods down. And I'm abstinent now, and I'm feeling so much mental clarity because I removed the foods that were making me sick. For me, it's a huge part of being able to then work my program. When I'm eating the foods that make me sick, I have this obsession still, and I'm craving them. And when I don't put them into my body, then I can work on the other so important vital parts of the 12 steps. I think that was why I struggled for so many years in getting abstinence, because I could do step one. I mean, I could admit that I was powerless and over food, and I also could admit that I needed a higher power's help. But when I was eating, still continuing to use my drug of choice,
Maureen, we seem to have lost you after your drug of choice. Are you still there? No? Okay. Maybe we'll come. Are you there, Maureen? Okay, let's go to you, Nicole. Can you go ahead, Nicole? Followed by Bruce E.
Hello, this is Nicole C. I'm a compulsive eater. Hi, thank you for letting me share. I'm a compulsive eater in Northern California, in Morgan Hill, California, and I have definitely tried to control. I've definitely tried to eat certain foods and stop abruptly. I have tried it more than once, and the first time I saw somebody with a solution, she had shown me through her actions and through her, it was obvious and apparent through her body that she had gone from very much overweight to very, very healthy, very lean, very happy. That was the more important thing, is she had a sparkle in her eye. She looked really, really, really happy. And you know, she never forced anything down my throat. She never said, oh, you need to do this. You don't understand. It's going to change your life. Da, da, da. She never pushed anything on me. She never did. I went up to her one day and I said, hey, I sure would love to have what you have, but I just don't think I could do it. And she said, sure you can. And I said, I don't know. It just seems, you know, this is this and that is that. And I had some reasons in my mind why I didn't think I would be able to do it. And she said, well, you know, if you ever just want to talk, just give me a call. I'm just happy to listen. And she didn't push it on me, and she certainly didn't pronounce me as a compulsive overeater. She didn't say, well, you're a compulsive eater, so you better get a sponsor and you better join OA. She did not say anything like that, and I'm really glad that she didn't, because I may have never come in. All she said was, if you ever want to give a call and just talk, I'm happy to just listen. And after that, I wasn't told to do this, what this paragraph describes, but I did do what this paragraph describes. I thought, well, maybe I do have a problem. Maybe I do need that program. And that night, I tried to stop at a place, have one of my, you know, go-tos that I thought I needed to feel better and feel whole. And I saw the insanity. I saw it from above myself almost. I was watching myself in the insanity. And I knew it. I knew I had a problem. And I called her and I said, okay, I would really like to figure out how you do this. And you know what? It was worth the bad case of jitters, as it says. I have a full knowledge of my condition. I have a very full knowledge of my condition. I will never, ever, ever be a normal eater. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. I don't need to be a normal eater to have a successful, happy, full life. I can eat the foods that don't trigger the phenomenon of craving, and I can actually get back into the game of life and serve God. But I'll never, ever, ever, ever be able to eat just one bite of cake. Never have, never will. It'll never happen. And for me, what I have to remind myself every day is, cause I forget. So I literally forget this multiple times a day. I have to remind myself constantly and ask God to help remind me. Is that food is not emotional support. It's not a best friend. It's not anything else but fuel. And so I have to treat it like a gas station. I'm just going to go and I'm going to fill up. And I'm going to move on. Thanks for letting me share. I love all of you.
And thank you, Nicole C. Maureen, are you back? Do you want to take your last minute? Moving on then. So Brucey, go ahead, please, and you're followed by Lisa S.
Okay. Brucey, I'm in Florida now. I'll be in Florida for a couple weeks and back in North Carolina for the summer and fall, God willing. I've tried a lot, when I got into fellowship, I'm trying not to do this anymore, but as soon as I saw somebody that was really big, say, they're a compulsive overeater. You know, they qualify for this fellowship. They're one of us. And I don't do that anymore. Because I quit doing that, because I realized that I can't judge, that's judging, and I can't do that to other people. I can't declare them a compulsive overeater. I can only declare myself. I can only diagnose myself. And man, I diagnosed myself big time before I came in this program. I knew that I was in big trouble. I might not have put my finger on it that, yeah, okay, I am a compulsive overeater, but I knew I had a major food problem because I was doing the Bermuda Triangle deal, you know, the couch, the refrigerator, the TV, the couch, the refrigerator, TV, and I kept doing that one. And I was a mess and just couldn't get a handle on it. So I had diagnosed myself, so I knew when I came in, started hearing the steps, started hearing, listening to people talk and stuff that, yeah, I qualified. But I just absolutely can't diagnose somebody else or declare somebody else a compulsive overeater. even I went to a funeral yesterday, and then after the funeral they had a big buffet set up and big dessert bar and everything, and I was near the dessert bar talking to a bunch of people, and fortunately I'm recovered and I'm neutral with the food, so I wasn't obsessing over that. But I was talking to a lady that I've known for years that lost about 100 pounds, and she was, you know, picking off the food bar or off the dessert bar. And I got talking to her a long time, and I don't think she may not even be one of us, even though she lost 100 pounds. She got very sick and she lost the weight. So maybe she isn't, maybe she is, but you know, that's up to her to make that analysis of herself, do that diagnosis of herself. I've done it of myself, and I am a compulsive overeater. I do qualify. Let's see. Then another guy's working with, or started work with the program. I didn't work with him very long. He didn't let me, but he was came to a meeting, said he was looking for a sponsor, and we started talking and stuff. And he said he didn't know if he qualified or not. Thank you. And I said, well, go do some more research. So anyway, that's it for me, and I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Bruce E. Lisa S., you're up next, followed by Ginger C.
Hi, I'm Lisa S., the compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here today. I love this paragraph because it reminds me of how I found myself in OA. And I know that if anybody had tried to say to me, hey, we think you're a compulsive overeater, I'd have told them they were crazy. Even though I don't remember a time in my life where my weight was not a huge issue for me. And I had never successfully dieted, ever. I'm not one of those people that can talk about that. But it took coming into the room and hearing about other people who ate the way I did, you know, that I wasn't the only person who got up in the middle of the night to eat enormous amounts of food. I wasn't the only person who got up who ate to the point where I didn't purposely make myself vomit, but my stomach couldn't hold anymore and got rid of it for me, and then would go back and eat more immediately afterwards. Since being in OA, I've taken a poll of normal eaters. I live with three of them, and they all tell me that when they get an upset stomach, they stop eating. That's not my go-to response, and that tells me that my eating is not normal. I've been in OA for 19 years now, and I have not had 19 years of abstinence because I am a slow learner and a fast forgetter. And so I've been noticing myself not doing the things that I need to do to keep my spiritual condition fit. And over the weekend, we celebrated a birthday for a relative that was staying with us. And I tried it again. I tried thinking I could just eat a bite, and I couldn't. And that was on Saturday. And I spent all day yesterday torn between, you know, just kicking myself continuously for giving up 2 years of abstinence. And praying like crazy, you know, please, please let me stop this time. And so far, I've been okay in terms of I've not been eating the stuff anymore. But it's been a real wake-up call. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Lisa S. and Kitty Cat and Dog. Okay, Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Aaron M.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service this morning. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And we do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic. And 23 will tell you that they may very well laugh it off or become irritated and refuse to talk. It's none of my business what other people are doing. And if I'm making it my business, who's sicker than who? My job is to stay in my own lane, keep my eyes on my own paper, and do this work, this practical program of action. Because yesterday's work is not going to keep me out of the food today. I have to wash, rinse, repeat, and I can never stop. My disease never takes a day off, and if anything, works overtime. And what are my choices? Blot it out, live a life of hell, die in the food, or accept a spiritual help, because I have to have this rearrangement from within, and that only comes about by following these clear-cut directions, this practical program of action, 1 through 12. It's in the steps, and it's not off the wall. In AA, I always did the steps off the wall, and I had an off-the-wall program. I didn't go anywhere. I had no awakening. And then I found this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and 3.5 years ago, I awakened. I was reborn. But you have to be done, and you have to be out of ideas. And I love this paragraph, and it is so clear. If you're not convinced, if you're still questioning, having any lurking notion, go back out and do the research. Go back out and eat, because every beautiful bite is necessary. And until you fully conceive head to heart, you will not have the foundation that is necessary for those remaining 11 steps to stand upon. It will not hold and support you. Those human emotions are going to build in you, and you will be eating because you are not done. The back door is not shut. You are not convinced. And we get convinced by the pain of the food. Sadly, yes, as addicts, we almost have to die before we awaken. But the gift is many of us have awakened, and we are recovered, and we have a message, because my job each and every day, God, who would you want me to be? What would you want me to do? Maximum service. I have no idea who God's going to put in front of me. I just pray I'm close and connected to that source so I can be helpful to that person. And the greatest disservice is being a life coach. Sponsors are not to convince others about their food problems, writing a log history. Again, the food should have convinced you. You should be shaking in your boots. This is real. Give it the attention it deserves. And if you don't get it, let the bites convince, because that's where I got it. It was 20 years of hell trying to have my cake and eat it too. Thank God I finally hit that place where I said, I'm done. I'm out of ideas. I'm completely surrendered and willing to go to any lengths for victory over this. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Aaron M., you're up next, followed by Barbara E.
Hi, this is Aaron M. out of Illinois. I have done a lot of research for years and years, and it's taken me a long time to get into these rooms, because I wanted the food. I wanted it. And when I got, you know, when I got on one of my binges, when I couldn't stop, I felt like, I even told myself, I don't care. I don't care. I want this. I want this. So I'm new to AA, and I've been, I don't have a sponsor yet. I don't know. I'm just trying to dip my toe in, I guess, to the program. But it was weird because I've been doing different things with my foods and trying, you know, abstinence and cutting down and it's only when I'm tired of my weight that I'm even concerned about my food. Otherwise, you know, it's like I feel like I'm either on a diet or off a diet, you know, like it's okay to have, you know, like if I'm on a diet or if I'm watching myself or whatever we want to call it. I restrict myself or, you know, have abstinence. And then as soon as I feel like I'm not on a diet, I feel like it's okay to have these foods. And then I gain the weight back. But now I'm learning that I can't have these foods. So I've been, you know, going it on my own and listening on the lines and stuff. And so it was weird because last week I had a really hard day, family drama, and I found myself eating the sweets again. And there wasn't a lot, but I ate every last one. And it's nothing compared to how, you know, I look back to see my, you know, I look back and think about my growth, and then it gives me, you know, lessens my guilt, I guess. Well, I used to eat this much and I only had this much this time. So, you know, anything that's an improvement is good, but what I was doing was so much that it's not hard to make an improvement and still overdo it. But it was weird because, okay, I'll wrap it up. I had that bad day and I went into the sweets and I ate these sweets and I felt sick, like physically. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I used to eat a ton more than that. And I, you know, wasn't as sick as I was when I ate this little bit. So definitely things change and progress. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. And before we take Barbara, just a reminder, we are on page 31, the third paragraph. We do not like to pronounce, and after Barbara, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, Barbara E., please.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard right now?
Yes.
Oh, great, great. Well, a little bit of context. What we just read about was called the Marty Mann Challenge, and her story's at the back of the book, good one, my opinion, on page 200. It's called Women Suffer Too. And in my language, it was, try going out, Barbara, and eating one donut every day for a week, and then see if you can totally stop. If you can do it, more power to you. She was actually the first lady of OA who retained any degree of sobriety. That's why her story is in this book. And Lil's, who was the first woman, her story was deleted because she went back to the drink. And Marty Mann believed and advocated that alcoholism was a public responsibility. Alcoholism was a disease, and the alcoholic is worth being helped. And she helped started the Yale School of Alcohol Studies. For me, I didn't need any Marty Mann challenge. I went out and tried every diet conceivable. All I wanted to do was lose weight and remain at that weight. And I couldn't do it. Yes, I lost weight. Hundreds of pounds, 9 times, but I always went back to the food because, like that man of 30 that we're going to read about, after I lost all the weight, I stamped myself USDA Prime normal, and I went back to the old way of eating. And you know where that got me? Nothing but 100+ pounds within 6 months. And I had to be convinced that no matter whatever I thought, whatever my self-seeking, irresponsible, lacking in intelligence mind thought, I am a compulsive overeater. And I cannot, even though I try to convince myself, I cannot eat like a normal person. I will eat like a goldfish.
And as a fourth grade teacher, I know from bitter experience, if you tip too much goldfish food in a bowl, the goldfish will eat till they explode. That was not a pretty picture for my fourth graders. And that's what I am. My fullness apparatus is broken. I eat, and then I stop talking. Thank you, I pass.
And thank you, Barbara E. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Becca R.
Julie E. B.
Reggie O.
Mo H.
Denise H.
Sandy W.
Deborah
G.
Okay, let's stop there. Let's gotta stop there, sorry. Yeah, you guys talk fast. I don't know if I write this fast. Okay, so I have Becca R., Julie E.B., or is it Julie E.R.? I should know that, Julie. Reggio, Mo, Denise H., Sandy, and Deborah. And I don't know if we're going to have time to get to all of you. So go ahead, Becca R.
Good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky. And I'm so happy to be on the line this morning because the longer I am abstinent, it is so peculiar how even if I'm in fit spiritual condition, it's like the more removed I am from that last compulsive bite, the other compulsivities that come before actually picking up the food will come back. And I'm grateful for this daily reprieve. But I was just thinking with some of the shares before about the times that I would try to fix, manage, and control. And it is so obvious to me. And in the minute the sugar was consumed or my triggers were consumed, it was all bets off. I mean, and then the next day I would wake up with full intent. Today's day one. Today's going to be the day. And sometimes I would make it that day. Sometimes I would make it a couple of days. But the minute I ingested that true food, it was off to the races again. Just like the book describes, that phenomena of craving. And so what am I doing today? You know, today I'm really trying to participate in that third step of, you know, okay, God, here I am. Show me what to do, how to be of service. And I'm so grateful just for that daily reprieve. And, you know, another part of my disease is that perfectionism, you know, wanting to do it absolutely perfect and wanting to get the gold star of approval for having the best program and best food plan and the best abstinence. And that's part of my disease too, guys. So just suiting up and showing up every day, seeing how I can fit recovery into my life today. I'm heading into a week of lots of busy with a family vacation. And, you know, I've got my planned food and my big book and my commitments. And it can feel really overwhelming. You know, how am I going to fit a meeting in? And how am I going to fit in my phone calls when we're out on the lake and we don't have reception? And that's where that third step comes in. You know, God, help take care of me today. Show me where it's going to fit today. Show me how it's going to be today. And this morning, God gave me a little napping baby and a dog to walk and an opportunity to hop on the line. And I'm just so grateful. You know, God takes care of me. I just have to let go of the reins. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Reggie O.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado Springs. You know, there's been lots of people sharing their experiences, and the depth and weight of that is so powerful. I diagnosed myself as no good, and that is my experience, and helpless and hopeless. But actually, you know, if I step over to food and try controlled eating, you know, I lost 100 pounds twice in medically managed programs. And, you know, because they weren't trained properly, they didn't understand that I was a restrictor, that I was compulsive undereater, anorexic, using diuretics, bulimic, whatever you want to call it. And that's why I could lose 6 pounds a week. And I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. In fact, I lost my uterus to that because my estrogen was so out of whack. So the reason I say this is, I can control, but that's not what's talking about stop eating abruptly. If I'm an undereater, try starting eating. Eat someone else's food plan. Take something from just the USDA.gov or one of the Dignity of Choice food plans, a basic food plan. Try and eat all of it. Try and start abruptly, and you'll find that this whole notion of control is not what it's all about. Let me tell you my strength and hope. My strength is I'm neutral around the food today. I neither undereat nor overeat. I have certain aspects, my absent behaviors, that make sure my stomach's neither too empty nor too full. And and I have complete quietness around the food. And so the feelings do come up. But when I try and control them, that doesn't work either. When I try and control other people or try and fault find in order to give myself relief from my emotions, that doesn't work either. But here's the hope. You can have quietness with the food, a quiet place inside of safety where you are cared for and protected no matter what has happened in your life. And if you really don't think you can ever get there, then please call someone else or myself on the line today and ask for their experience, strength, and most importantly, their hope. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And Reggio, you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Hey, thanks, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O, gratefully recovered in the greater Los Angeles area. And boy, you know, this paragraph really spoke to me this morning. The first part, you know, we do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic or as a compulsive overeater. And yeah, I've done that in the past. That's not really my job. I could think that I see it, think that I smell it, you know, but I am the only one who could decide if I'm a compulsive overeater, and anyone out there is only the only one that they can decide. And if I think I can tell someone that, they're probably going to run in the other direction because they're not going to want to hear it. The second part of that, you know, there's a consciousness to this. I don't know that exists in, alcohol, in the dis-ease, you know, alcoholism or compulsive overeating. Step over to the nearest for me, I thought what came to mind this morning was stepping into Starbucks and grabbing a cup of tea and one of their scones, which I've done multiple times in the past, each time thinking that it would be okay. And I can almost remember the feeling of that sugar, you know, or flour combination taking hold in my body, and I would be off and running for sure. And But I just wonder, you know, if anyone who was a compulsive eater heard this, you know, it's like step over to the nearest bakery or whatever and, you know, try some controlled eating. I mean, would that wake them up in such a way? When I think about doing that today, it like makes me want to run in the opposite direction because there's not a doubt in my mind of what would happen if I were to do that. And, you know, just quickly, it reminds me of this woman, dear woman, who was my sponsor when I became recovered many years ago in Boston for the first time. She was a paragon of program, you know, everybody looked to her. And I got recovered working with her and working the steps. And she developed some sort of, I can't remember what it was, but she went to see this top neurologist at MIT. And the neurologist didn't think that, you know, they thought she should lighten up. She was being too strict and rigid about food and this and that, and suggested that she try taking one teaspoonful of sugar each day in her tea for lunch just to prove to herself that she was, you know, off and running. I'd gone away, you know, to the western part of the state for grad school at that time, and we weren't working together anymore. And I saw her one following summer or two at something big event, and she had gained all of her 100 plus pounds back that she had lost and kept off for a long time in program. And that was just, it was such a mind blower for me. And
time, please.
But I'll pass with that, and thank you.
And thank you, Reggie O. So Mo H, followed by Denise H. And I'm not sure if we're going to have time to get to you, Sandy or Deborah, but go ahead, Mo H.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service and for all those on the line. I really appreciate it to keep this meeting going. Wow, this is again a great paragraph, and that I am the only one that can diagnose myself. Step into the kitchen and try one cookie, and I've tried that, one cookie, and the one cookie led to two and led to the whole container. So I have diagnosed myself, and we've heard a lot of shares on the meeting this morning that maybe if you're not done, maybe you need to go out and do more. My sponsor will say that to people that are relapsing. You're not done. So go out and eat more till you get a full knowledge of your disease, of your, you know, try some controlled eating. When I'm controlling my eating, I'm not enjoying it. And when I'm enjoying my food, I'm not controlling it. No, I said that wrong. When I'm enjoying my food, I am not controlling. Well, anyway, whatever. You guys know what I mean. Anyway, so I can't stop abruptly. It is impossible for me to stop abruptly once I start because of the physical allergy. I will get that craving from that sugar, like we heard the last share, one teaspoon of sugar in tea, and then all the weight came back on. Oh, how did that happen? I get the physical allergy, the craving starts, and I can't stop once I start. And when I'm in it, I can't stop myself. So the only relief I have is to work these steps. Like they say, like my hair is on fire. I have to be completely honest with myself every day that I am a compulsive overeater, an addict. And I have no shame around that today. I just spent 4 or 5 days up with my daughter and grandchildren at a graduation, and one of my granddaughters, unfortunately, I think, may have this disease. I can't diagnose her, but she starts eating fruit and can't stop and just keeps eating it. And it's showing on her body. But all I can do is work my program, be here for you and for anyone else who is struggling. As someone said, give me a call, give anybody a call, and I will share my experience, strength, and hope, because I have tried that stepping in to the bar room. I've tried. I've gone out many, 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 many times, and I only now have 3 years of complete freedom with the food. And with that, I pass.
Time, please.
Thanks, Kathleen.
And thank you, Mo. So, Denise, we have about 2.5 minutes. Denise H. and Sandy and Deborah, I'm so sorry. We're not going to have time to hear your shares this morning. So go ahead, Denise.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you? Okay. Actually, Mo pretty much spoke everything I was going to point out from that paragraph, so I'm going to pass.
Okay, Denise. Sandy, are you still there?
I am, Kathleen. Thanks so much, and I'll be brief.
Okay,
too.
Great.
You know.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. This paragraph, too, was just reminding me the depth to which we really need to take step one. And I was especially reminded of the place in the AA 12 and 12 that talks about step one being the only one that we need to take with absolute perfection. I too was reminded of how, like in a courtroom, not that I'm an attorney, but how in a courtroom we talk about being guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But when it comes to taking step one, I really had to be convinced without any doubt at all. It was only when I had fully surrendered like that that I was willing to get into this book and do exactly what it told me to do. And in that surrender, that's where the real recovery began for me. So that's the gist of what I wanted to share. Thanks so much again for your service, Kathleen.
And thank you, Sandy. Okay, so we're going to stop there, and I just want to thank everyone for your really amazing shares this morning. It was a great meeting, and a special thanks to Team Monday, Denise H., Teresa S., Carrie S., Sandy W., Leslie M., Ginger C., and Reggie O., and we are now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Sandy W., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Kathleen. It's me again. Yes, I'd be grateful to. And this is Sandy W., Gratefully Recovered in Connecticut. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.